I'd like for you to take your Bibles this morning. Turn to Deuteronomy 25. Deuteronomy 25. While I get all my cords to work. Let's hope all my cords get working. There we go. I had to go over and scare it. Did you see that? As soon as I walked over there, it got scared. Amen. I asked Caleb and JR to bring these books up here, but I didn't intend for them to set them so far down. Don't worry. I'm not going to preach through this morning. Let's see if I can get it where I can reach it here without it falling out on my feet. There we go. These are just for illustrative purposes. You'll see why in a little bit. Deuteronomy 25. Are you there? Say amen. I'm not. Give me a minute. And I will be. I don't remember where I was when God laid this on my heart. I may have been listening to somebody preach, and I'll do that from time to time, and just a verse will just stand out to me, and I'll think about it, think about what it means, and a lot of things I never thought of before. Deuteronomy 25, you'll see what I'm getting to here in a little bit, all right, so just bear with me. And verse 13, everybody find that, it's up on the screen, for those of you watching online, but I still want you to open your Bibles. Okay, this is a Bible church. Amen. Amen. It's a Bible church. And if you don't have one, there should be one in the pew there somewhere in your neighborhood. And if you don't have one and didn't bring one, that's fine. That's normal. Some people don't, and some people just forget or whatever. But I want you to take that Bible there in front of you and open it up and read it. I want you to look at it, all right? It means something. And God's going to show us something. God gave Israel the law. And some would say, well, you know, the law is done away with. We don't have to keep the law and this and that and the other. Anytime I hear somebody say that, where they say they don't have to keep the law, I know automatically that they don't. Amen? They don't. And but anyway, the Bible, Paul said the law, he said every time I sin, in Romans 7, he said, I consent that the law is good. The law is good. And God, when God sent down his law, God is showing you His standard. He's showing you His standard. God has high standards. Don't ever forget that. God has high expectations, high living, high morals, high ways. God has all of those things. When God said, thou shalt not commit adultery, that was not just a suggestion. When He said, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet, He wasn't just fooling around. He didn't say, well, try this and see if it works. God has high, high, high precision standards. And I'm going to teach on that. I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't know how far I'll get today. It's one of those messages that I don't have an end to it in my mind already. But I'm just going to show you some things. Has anybody here ever studied the weights and measures of the Bible before? I haven't. Okay? I know the word ephah, but if you asked me to go get an ephah of flour, I'd just be going, what is that? Okay? And then somebody will ask you, well, I need 1 meter of this. Well, you lost me. Okay? I don't know what, I know kind of what a meter is, but if you ask me to measure it out, I don't know if I could do it. But I had this in my mind. God just kind of dealt with me one day about a balance. Okay? A balance. And when I made a note of it, and I thought, well, I'm going to study that one time and maybe preach on it. And when I actually started looking in the Bible at what God said about balances, about scales, and about measuring things, and so on, when I actually looked in the Bible, I was overwhelmed. at the number of times and places and how important God sees a balance. Y'all know what a balance is, right? I wish I had one. I wish I had one because I was going to make an illustration. These are my illustrations right here. You'll see here in a minute, all right, if I ever get to it. A balance is, it's a thing they weigh. If you step on a, if you go to the doctor's office, you hate their scales, don't you? You know why? Yeah. Listen to Sandy. They're off. That's why I hate them. They're lying. Most doctor scales I've ever stood on have little weights on them. Right? And you get on it, and they start sliding that thing. And you're going, okay, stop right there. No, stop. Then it gets over to a point, and what are they looking for? Balance. You see what they're doing? Most doctors' scales are balances. They put your weight on one side and a series of weights on the other, and the position of that weight determines where the balance is. And when that balance says that you weigh 190 pounds, you weigh 190 pounds. Okay? Most doctors have a deal like that. A lot of things being turned over to electronic and things like that, but just kind of ponder that in your mind. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 13. Let me read to you the Word of God. Thou shalt not have in thy bag diverse weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thine house diverse measures, a great and a small. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight. A perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. For all, now don't you look at verse 16. How serious is God about you having an accurate balance? For all that do such things, and all that do unrighteously, are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now I want you to get that in your mind. I think sodomy is a terrible, gross, disgusting sin. Amen? I don't know if you heard about this week. We're going to pray in a minute. One of these online adultery websites, somebody hacked into their servers and pulled 35 million names, addresses, credit card numbers, and email addresses from this adulterous. It's a website that you can go to, pay them money, and they'll show you people who live in your area that you can go sleep with, commit adultery with. Okay? All you got to do is knock on the door. And somebody hacked their database. 35 million names were in that database. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't think we live in an adulterous generation, that right there is the proof of it.
Amen.
35 million names, email addresses, credit card numbers, home addresses, or business addresses. In some cases, military addresses were showing up. Government offices were showing up. Somebody whose name you would know, theirs was the first name that popped up. And he's already admitted that it's true, and he sent an apology to everybody. 35 million people in this country are sweating bullets today. Because now, when they hacked the server, that was back in April, they said, if you don't take that website down, we're going to post the names. They didn't take the website down. They posted the names this last weekend. 35 million people in America are sweating bullets, hoping that somebody they know doesn't find their name on that list. Okay? That's an abomination. Amen? That's terrible, right? So is having a false balance. Look at it again, verse 16. for all that do such things and all that do unrighteously are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Okay? We're going to go slow on this. We're just going to look at the Word of God. We're going to expound on it a little bit. I'm going to use some illustrations here, and you'll see why I had this up here in a little bit, all right? I want us to go to the Lord in prayer, and I want you to ask God to help you, okay? Ask God to help you. Help you get through this message. Help me to preach it the way it should be preached. I need it. I was studying it last night, and I tell you, my heart was broken. I mean, my heart was broken last night studying this thing. So anyway, you pray for me while I preach, all right? Heavenly Father, Lord, I have nothing to ask but that Jesus himself come in this place. He's the preacher. That he would come in and preach this message, what should be preached. And that, Father, the Spirit of your Son living in us would say things to each one of us. God, I don't really know the people sitting in this room today. I know some things, but down deep in their heart, God, I can't see. You can. And Lord, I don't know most of the people that are even online right now. I don't know any of the people out in Kenya that are watching. But God, you do. And you know, Lord, the things that are bound up inside of our heart and how evil we really are. And Lord, I just pray, God, that you would give us wisdom. Give us knowledge and understanding. Help us to understand, Lord, what's about to be preached. And then, Lord, give us wisdom so that we see the application of it in our own lives. So, Father, just bless us today and help me, Lord, help me have a good, straight mind to preach this and to teach this the way it should be taught, Lord, to do it justice. And Lord, I'm asking Jesus to come and help me in this place, and your Holy Spirit, Lord, to do for us what we cannot do, Lord, in our own flesh. Help us today and bless your word today, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Now, let me explain Deuteronomy 25 very quickly. Some of you probably already get this and whatnot, okay? Back in the old days, people sold things. They bought and sold. They didn't necessarily go to Walmart or anything like that, but they bought and sold things among themselves. And probably just about every family had a set of balances, okay? Every merchant on the streets had a set of balances. Even you go over here to Walmart. Walmart has a scale in their produce department because you're going to buy tomatoes. How do you buy tomatoes? By the pound. Okay? How do you buy carrots? By the pound. The reason why we do that is that some carrots are bigger than others, right? Rather than them just sticking a flat price, 50 cents a carrot, that means everybody would pick out the biggest carrots and leave the little ones to waste. And so it's just better if we just sell a lot of carrots by weight. Okay? The box of cereal that you opened up this morning, if you look on the bottom of the box, this package is sold by weight and not by volume. Because if you open up a fresh, brand new bag of potato chips, you have to look about 20 feet down inside the bag to find out where the first chip is. Okay? By the way, let me explain something practical. When they make potato chips and put them in the bag, they deliberately inflate that bag with air to protect the chips from being broken while they're being... Makes sense, doesn't it? Okay? So it just makes... Some things are just right. But you're not buying a bag full of potato chips. You're buying a weight of potato chips. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay? So back in the old days, everybody had scales. If a guy was going to sell this, he was going to sell that. Well, I want a pound of this, or I want a half pound of this, or I want this, or whatever. Okay? And God said, when you lay that thing out in front of your neighbor, now listen to me now, this is your neighbor. When you put your balances out there on your neighbor, and you have, there's always a predetermined set weight that goes on here. Let's say somebody's going to buy a pound of something, and so you reach into your bag, and you get a pound weight, and you put it on that scale. Now, the scale's like this, right? So he's going to buy a pound of beans from you, and so you start pouring beans in a bag until they're equal. Now this man has, you have his money, and he has a pound. Now here's what God said. He said, this is your neighbor now, you fool. This is your neighbor. Don't you dare have two weights in your bag. You put on here that says a pound, but it's not. It's less than a pound. It's three quarter of a pound. So what did you give this guy? 3/4 of a pound of beans, but he paid the price of a pound. You cheated him, didn't you? A lot of you remember Ron DeGonia. He was here a few weeks ago preaching. He told me in Sterling this story. He was at a gas station in this area. I think it's out of business now. But he was at a gas station. He had dual tanks on his truck, and he went to fill them up, and he knew exactly how much each tank would hold. One would, if you ever had dual tanks on a truck, one runs completely out, then you switch tanks. He knew exactly how much gas that tank held. He went to fill it up one day, and it showed more gas going into the tank than what he knew the tank held. He knew that that gas station was cheating on the amount of gas that it showed was going in his tank. Therefore, they charge more because you buy gas how? By the gallon. Okay? And he knew it was showing more gas, and he raised a fit, and a guy cursed him, and he called the company, and they went down there, and they sent a guy. There's a guy that goes around. If you go to the gas station now, on that gas station, there's a sticker. The sticker, Wayne knows this, sticker says that this weight and measure device has been tested and is accurate. We have to have the government to come in here and tell us that this company is not cheating us on gas. Because people who sell things, there's always going to be some kind of push to maybe kind of cheat a little bit and get a little bit more money out of people than what they actually deserve. Now, God said that this was an abomination, along with all of the other unrighteous things that we can do, that this was an abomination. He said it's wrong to tip the scales. Yes, amen. This is wicked. Do not have divers weights, small and great. Do not have divers measures. Measuring cup has a cup in it, right? Okay. Do not have divers measures, great and small. Thou shalt have a perfect and a just weight. That's what God said. Why would God go to such detail to tell us and put it on the scale of, now see, hear that word I just used? Put it on the scale right along with sodomy, adultery, fornication, stealing, because that's what you're doing. And that falls under the category of love your neighbor as yourself. Watch this. Look at this. I just showed you a scale in the second commandment to God's people. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's a scale, isn't it? That just dawned on me. We only have 2 commandments in our Bible. In the New Testament, Gentile age, that Jesus told us, behold, I give you a new commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And number 2, love your neighbor. Equal amount as yourself. So look at this verse now in that light. When you put a pound scale, when you put a pound weight on your scale, and you pour out a pound of beans on the other side, and that pound is just, you love your neighbor as yourself, because you're going to get from him the exact amount of money from him as you're going to give him in beans. Whew. Well, it's deep, isn't it? I've not even got into this message, and it's already just, it's deep, okay? Now, is there another place in the Bible? Leviticus 19. Turn there. Leviticus 19. I got several verses. Boy, we're going to just be plowing through the Word of God. Remember, I was preaching on plowing last week. Amen. We're going to be plowing through the Word of God. And there's some issues. Now, listen to me. There's some issues in your life that are out of balance. There are issues in your life that are out of balance. Leviticus 19. Underline these in your Bible. Make notes if you want to. Bless her heart. I'd never forget Sister Waymire. She used to sit back there, and I never did know that she did this one time. And I was preaching one time, and I said, now, I'm not sure if I preached on this before. And she raised her hand, and she said, yeah, I got it down here. I wrote it in my Bible when you preach this. Her Bible was full of Pastor Mike and the date of when I preached on certain passages. Okay? Whew. Miss her. Amen? Amen? She was an example to us. Make notes. Write things down. Leviticus 19, verse 35. You shall do no unrighteousness in... I want you to look at that next word there, the word judgment. Listen to me now. We judge people. Did you hear me? we judge people. Most of the time, we judge them unrighteously. We judge them, listen to me now, with a false balance. You should do no unrighteousness in judgment in meat yard. See that word, meat yard? That's got meter and yard in it. Amen? By the way, I'm just going to take it slow. Give examples. Yesterday, we were out watching old Scooter back there. He's all sore today. He played a football game. Kenya, that's American football, not soccer, okay? He's playing American football yesterday, a scrimmage game, which is just a practice game against other teams, okay? And I want to tell you something. He knows how to tackle. He just about flipped this kid up in the air, turned him over. Oh, man, I'm going, wow, that was a good one. Amen. Did you hurt him? You know, no, I wouldn't like that. But you know how they play on a football field? 50-yard line, 40-yard line, 30-yard line. And how do they know whether or not it's first down or not? Anybody knows anything about football? There's two guys on the sideline with a line. And that line is measured at exactly 10 yards. Not 10 yards and 1 inch. It's measured at exactly 10 yards. If you've ever watched a football game and they bring the chains out to measure it, a lot of times if it falls short, the umpire or the referee will pick up the link that the ball touches on, pick that up in his fingers, and they will carry that over. So when they set the ball back down, it goes exactly where it was before. And football, baseball, those are games of precision, and the measuring has to be perfect. Because if the measuring's not perfect, you're talking about a win or a loss, right? Okay? By the way, let me say this, the weight of the football. Amen? The weight of a football. Tom Brady was throwing last year's Super Bowl that had rain. He was throwing balls that they had let some of the air out of so he could grip them better in the rain. The NFL has a standard for exactly how many molecules of air has to be in that football. And he is suspended now for the first, I don't know how many games, you know, Scotty? Three or four games he cannot play the first part of this season because he cheated on molecules in a football. It's going to cost him I don't know how much money. That's just games. We're talking about real life here. We're talking about heaven or hell. If you watch this now, see this right here? You can miss heaven by this much. You shall do no unrighteousness and judge your meat yard in weight or in measure. Just balances, just weights. A just ephah and a just hin shall you have. I'm the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. I am the Lord. Anybody say we don't have to do the law? They'll cheat you. They'll cheat you. Because they think they can do it and get away with it and God won't do anything to them about it. You got to watch people. If I was living back in those days, you know I'd carry around with me? I'd carry around a whole set of weights and measures. When a guy laid something on the scale, I'd take mine out and put it on the other side just to make sure he was right and wasn't cheating me. Amen? Job 31, verse 6. Watch this now. Here's what Job said. You listen to this. You listen to this real good. I was just looking at this yesterday, and I'm just going, God, this is good. Job asked God and his friends to let him be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. Now, let me ask you a question. Love your neighbor as yourself. Who in here, when you do business with somebody, you do business with Walmart or the gas station or the fruit market down here, the produce stand down here, who in here wants a just and equal weight down at that vegetable stand down here? Who in here wants that? Raise your hand. Why? You don't want to be cheated. Amen? You don't want to be cheated. So here, watch this now. Here we go. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask God to weigh you in His balance. I want you to ask God to weigh you in His balance. Is God's balance right? His balance is right. His balance is just. His balance is perfect. So here's what I'm asking you. Those of you, and it may not be anybody here that thinks that way. I hope there isn't. Maybe somebody watching, listening online. Somebody out in Kenya. You just happen to be walking down the street, see all this ruckus in Mill Street. Here's this Mzungu preacher preaching to everybody. And you're sitting there watching, who is this guy? What is he saying? And you've been cheating everybody out at the marketplace in Alamano. You've been cheating everybody at the marketplace with an unjust scale. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't want to be cheated by others, do not cheat other people. Yeah. Isn't that right?
Amen.
So then here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask God to weigh you on His scale. And we won't like it, will we? Sister Sandy, you don't like the doctor's scale? Amen? Listen, I guarantee you, you won't like God's either. I'll show you that. Okay, I'm going to show you that in a minute. Anyway, Job said, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. Proverbs 20, verse 10. Proverbs is a book of wise sayings. Divers weights, diverse, different weights, and diverse measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. What do we got here? We got one, two, three, four passages in the Bible already that talk about how wrong it is to have a false balance, a false, unjust weight. God weighs things. I didn't know this. Never paid attention to it, Scotty, until I was studying this out. I'm going, good grief. God is in balances and scales and how long things are. Go to the book of Ezekiel. In the last four or five chapters of the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel sees a man there with, he's got a reed in his hand. You know what it is? It's a measuring reed. And he's going around taking the measurements of the temple. In Revelation chapter 10, same thing. There's a man with a rod in his hand and he's measuring out the areas of the temple. God measures. Job 37:16, dost thou know the balancings of the clouds? By the way, have you ever seen that? Clouds hanging up in midair. How does that happen? Did you know one of those big fluffy clouds that you see floating through the air? You know there's probably close to 1,000 pounds of water in that thing. Now how does God balance 1,000 pounds of water? He puts 1,000 pounds of air pressure on it to hold it up. Isn't that cool? Doodads are going up down my back. Hair standing up. Freshly shaven hair. Lisa gave me a haircut last week. I feel all prickly. A cloud that weighs 1,000 pounds, God holds it up with 1,000 pounds of air. That's the firmament that He made in the heaven. The balancing the clouds, the wondrous works of Him which is perfect in knowledge. Isaiah 40 verse 12, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand? Did you see that? God took every drop of water in this planet and He measured it. You know how you cup your hand to hold water? That's what God did. He took that. How big is God, by the way? How big is He? Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and meted out, that means He metered it. He measured it out heaven with the span. A span is a measure. It's from here, it's from here to here. That's the span right there. And meted out heaven with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure. That means God took a measuring cup and put all the dust of the earth in it and He weighed it. Every tiny little speck of dust in this earth, God had it in a cup and He measured it and He weighed it. Amen. That blows my mind. And weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. If God was so busy measuring how much the dirt weighed in this earth, what is dirt to us? If God is so particular to measure out the exact amount of the dirt that exists on this planet, don't you think that God measures heavier things than that? Amen. More important things than that? Isaiah 40 verse 15, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. That's where we get that term, by the way. Get out of the King James Bible. Man, I'll tell you what, I worked hard today, but what I did was just a drop in the bucket, what old so-and-so did today. That's where we get that term. Get right out of the Bible. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted, look at that, they're counted as the small dust of the balance. By the way, there's a place somewhere in this country, there's a safe that is, they filter out any particles whatsoever out of this room. The United States of America has a room where they store the official weights and measures that everything goes by in this country. The United States of America has a room where even the smallest sliver that weighs a certain amount is stored and kept, and they're so particular that they have to keep dust out of that room. It has to be done like in a vacuum or something like that, so that they know that no dust particle sits on that measure, because it's just that tricky. And remember what I said, you can miss heaven by that much. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. And behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. If God weighs things, God will weigh you. Proverbs 16:11, a just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. Remember, God has a balance. 1 Samuel 2, verse 3. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are what? So let me ask you a question. You started thinking of yourself one day, and you started thinking of yourself as a pretty good person. And you heard the preacher preach. You heard the sermon. And you felt a little convicted about things you had done wrong. So what you did was, you decided that you were going to weigh yourself, all the good things that you've done, versus all the bad things that you've done. You decided that that was what you were going to do. You know what that is? It's a false balance. That's what it is. When I had that thought about this message, that's the first thing that came to my mind. Is people will say, Wayne, I think my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds. And God will see that, and I'll get to go to heaven. But you're being weighed not on your balance, but on God's. Proverbs 16:2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Isaiah 26:7, the way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Every place you walked, God put it on a scale. Every thought that you had in your inner spirit where nobody heard it, God put that on a scale. So let's back up for a minute. Let's take all the things that you did physically, put them on a scale. Now we're going to add to that all the thoughts you thought. Put those on the scale too. Because God weighs the spirit, doesn't he? It's not looking so good anymore, is it? You know what you do? You like a false balance. That's what you do. You like a false balance. Because you want to make sure it comes out in your favor and not anybody else's. And you just broke the second commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Isaiah 26:7, the way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Amos chapter 7. Some of you know this passage. God not only has a set of scales, God not only has a reed that measures. Amos chapter 7, verse 7. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line. Y'all know what a plumb line is, don't you? Okay, now when guys set up in these new construction jobs, Ron, when the guys come in to measure everything out, they bring a big tripod and they've got a laser. Laser only shoots straight, okay? And they do it all electronically and stuff like that. But the old guys, they didn't have all that junk, Brother George. They didn't have that stuff. The easiest thing in the world to make is a plumb line. You just take a stick or a rock, sharp rock, sharpen it if you want to, and tie it to a string and let it stop swaying, and gravity pulls down on that rock and it is absolutely 100% straight vertical. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you know that there is a place on the earth where people lay way less than they do in other places of the earth? How many of you know that? You don't know that because there isn't a place. I tricked you. Shouldn't have done it. But I tricked you. Did you know that the two times I've been all on the other side of the world in Kenya, I weighed exactly as much as I do now here? You know what that says to me? God has a standard all over the world. And God truly is no respecter of persons. Because if I weigh 300 pounds here, I weigh 300 pounds in Kenya. I said if. Gosh. God holds a plumb line up. And then he said he stood on a wall that was made by a plumb line. You know what that means? That wall was made straight. Here's a picture of an old guy. And I when we were out in Kilimambogo last year, there next to the church was a couple of men building a stone wall just like this one. And I talked to the guy for a little bit. He didn't seem very interested in talking to Mzungu, so he just wanted to keep on working. But they were, you know what they do? You know how they make their bricks over there? They make them by hand. They mix all their mortar by hand. They do everything by hand because they don't have all the machines and all this and that and the other we have over here. And that guy mixed that mortar up and he put those stones in there. And you know what he has to do every now and then? Has to hang a plumb line there and make sure that the stones are straight. Because what happens? What happens, Brother Sterling, if you build a 10-foot high wall and you have not used the plumb line? What happens to the wall? That thing's going to come crashing down. You know why? Because gravity's the same. And so here's what God did. The Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line with a plumb line in his hand. Uh-oh. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. You know what God's doing? He's setting his standard against you. See, you know what he says about us, Jody? We are a crooked and a perverse generation. And how is it that God can say that? It's because he held up a standard to us. And it's a standard for everybody in the world. God's not just saying it to Israel. He's saying it to us too. We don't measure up to a straight line. We don't talk things good and straight like we think we do. We don't do things right all of the time. We're nuts if we think that. All you got to do is measure yourself against God's standard. And when you do that, you find out that even if you miss it by that much, it ain't right. So how much does it take? The Leaning Tower of, I used to think it was pizza. And I'm going, really? Is a tower made of pizza? The Leaning Tower of Pisa falls just a little bit more every year. And they say at some point that thing's going to come down. Somebody didn't use a plumb line. Okay? Isaiah 28:17. Judgment also will I lay to the line. Now you listen to this. When God judges, he uses the line and righteousness to the plummet. So here's what I'm going to ask you. Tell me about your righteousness. Tell me about how good you are. Tell me about what you do. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. When it comes to judging ourselves or judging others, God uses a line. When it comes to measuring our righteousness or the righteousness of others, God uses the same line. Do you believe that?
Amen.
And if it's 1 degree off or 20 degrees off, it's off. God's perfect. See, we already learned earlier that God has a perfect weight and a perfect balance and a perfect scale. Now I'm going to read one more passage and I'm going to use my illustrations here. I'm going to let you go home. Then I'll come back to it tonight. Okay? Daniel chapter 5 verse 25. Remember, mene, mene, tekel, upharsin? Remember that? Remember learning about that in Sunday school? That God wrote it on the wall. Here's Belshazzar drinking. He used the cups that they stole out of the temple in Jerusalem. He's using the consecrated cups that his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, stole out of the temple in Jerusalem. And he was having a party and getting drunk out of them. And God said, I've had it with you. So a hand comes on the wall. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. And nobody can interpret it except Daniel. Daniel comes in and he says, this is the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom. God's numbering. Number two, and finished it. And then he said in verse 27, tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. You know what I think some people have got it in their mind? That when they stand before God in judgment, that they can ask God to tip the scales in their favor just this one time. If God did that for one person, the rest of us are going to rise up out of hell and say, that's not fair. Am I telling you the truth?
Amen.
Okay? Let me figure out how to do this here. Okay? Here's what we like to do. I got a piece of paper here. This will work. Okay? Here's what we like to do. We like to look at people that are drinking beer, smoking dope, taking drugs, sleeping around, got their names on adultery websites. We like to look at people and all the sins that they're committing, and this is who we think we are. So we like to look at people that way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we say, look at all they're doing. That's wicked. That's evil. That's bad. And by the way, you're right. You're right. We like to look at people that way and judge them and measure them by what we do. Now, Paul said, and I had this in my mind last night and didn't write it down. Paul said, comparing ourselves among ourselves, we're not right. Now, I'm going to speak to this church. We got a whole group of people here, and every one of us has got a bunch of this.
Amen.
Okay? I've been here almost 20 years, people. I've seen a lot. And I've seen people out of this church, and I'm going to be dead honest with you, I've done it. I have judged people just like this. And I was wrong. In some cases, I've gone back to people and said, I was wrong. Shouldn't have done that. I did it with our next door neighbor over here. Ain't right. See, that's our neighbor. If anything, I don't know how to do this. Me and our neighbor over here should be like this. I love my neighbor as I love myself. That's how we're supposed to do it. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
Wow. Boy, they started coming to church and boy, they got some bad stuff. But you know what? So do I. And now watch this. And we do this because we can see on the outside
the things that they do. But remember, God weighs the spirit as well. And I've seen a lot of people come to this church, I've never seen their spirit. But God weighed that as well. So when you start looking at people, just remember, it better be equal. That's good, isn't it? Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Now watch this. Let's go back to this. Here's who we think we are. Okay? So we look at other people and we judge them and say, they're all bad. That's evil. That's wicked. They don't. And by the way, this applies to some areas of doctrine too. There's always going to be disagreements. Well, I have it more closer to God than they do. Okay? Now, watch this. Because there's a verse here. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. Matthew 7, "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged." Are you ready? So this is how you judged them. This is what you judged them with.
Hang on. I think good. See, gravity's wanting to take away my stash here.
This is your righteousness. That's Christ's righteousness. Same measurement, right? Same judgment. Well, here, let's do it like this. Let's do it like this. This represented what we do wrong versus all this, right? So this is our little bitty sins, right? So let's put it over here on the scale. And then we're going to put on this side all of Christ's sins. Right? Which way do you think this balance is going to go? Well, you're going to like this. Christ is always should be exalted, right?
Amen.
So as we go down, Christ goes up. Amen?
Amen.
What's good, isn't it?
Amen.
So let me ask you again, how do you want to be judged by God? Based on what you do versus what you think everybody else does, because that won't work. Let's take everybody else away, because salvation is always personal, right? It's you and God, period. So this would be you, and here's Christ, and it's out of balance. So you ask Christ, please come. Take away my sin. Now the balance is equal. That's the doctrine of justification. You have now been cleared of all wrongdoing. And now the balance says, not guilty. Whew. It's good stuff, isn't it? Now do you see why God hates a false balance? So let's keep that in mind. Okay? Let's keep it in mind in our families. Moms and dads, we don't do everything right either, do we? Let's keep it in mind. Church members, pastor, I don't outweigh you. Well, some of you. I'm not better than anybody here. You're not better than me. As far as how God sees it, we're just about the same. And that applies to any preacher in any pastors out in Kenya, you listen to this. The worst sin that you'll ever commit is thinking that you are better than your people.
and you're not. And God knows it, because God weighs your spirit. So it's good when a pastor knows that him and his people are about the same. And that helps me when I'm dealing with you, or I'm worried about you, or I'm praying about you, or I'm mad at you. Did I just say that? That helps me. It helps me in my marriage. It helps me with my children. My grown children. The adult ones. That helps me. That should help you too. As a church together. Let's keep it balanced. Amen?